We are. It is week 7. The Blitz podcast continues this 2025 football season. I'm Jamie Nye. He is Britton Gray, and we got you covered with the Green Zone. As now, for the first time this season, we're going to have to talk about a Riders loss 24-10 against the Calgary Stampeders. But we want to get to your questions. Of course, you can ask us anything. When it comes to the Rough Riders or the Canadian Football League. And I think we have one of my favorite questions so far. Britton.
Yeah.
From Gunmetal Green. Is Robustelli the real deal, in brackets? He is, after a breakout game against the Calgary Stampeders, his first touchdown. For a guy who's been out of football as long as he was and is back at it, he was in flag, and now he's in pro ball, and he's doing these types of things. I want to believe the sky is the limit for Joe Robustelli. Like, let's be real. This isn't a guy who's been playing football and Div 1 schools and everything else. He literally showed up to a Rider camp. They told him, can you go get more football tackle experience in the next year? He went out and did that, and then they brought him in, and now he's getting 100-yard games in the Canadian Football League. It's a great story, and I think he is. I really do. I think Joe Robustelli may not be the Kenny Lawler type real deal or anything like that, but I could see Joe Ro, as they call him, being that 800, 900, maybe dip into the 1,000-yard receiver in his career consistently.
Yeah, Trevor Harris has compared him to Greg Ellingson. He did it, again, when asked about why he makes that comparison, and one of the reasons he says was Ellingson was one of the, maybe the only, but one of the few receivers who Trevor Harris has ever played with who could cut on his inside foot. He said not a lot of receivers can do that. They have to use their outside foot. He can cut on his inside foot, and now he wasn't comparing Robustelli, Greg Ellingson. Greg Ellingson has a heck of a resume throughout his entire career, but it's there. I'm curious if Robustelli can play inside in the slot at some point, or if he just has to stay out wide. Not sure what his skill set is in there, because unfortunately right now, when this receiver group is healthy with how they want to run three Canadian receivers, at least for this season, where he can kind of sneak in when this room's healthy. But, I mean, gosh darn good guy to have in the depth spot there.
Yeah, it depends how the ratio shakes out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. But he's one of those guys, like a Naaman Roosevelt back in the day, who eventually is just, you can't take him off the field. Like, you have to either adjust the ratio and say sorry to Del Duncan Busby when Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer Baker are healthy, and you're going to run with Dante Myers, Keyshawn Johnson, and Joe Robustelli, and you're going to have to find another starting Canadian. And with the flexibility the Riders have now, with kind of three Canadian starters on defense, you only need four on offense. With A.J. Allen, Tavon Campbell, and Nelson Lacombo on defense, you only need four on offense. Two offensive linemen and two receivers get that job done. So they will have roster flexibility down the road. It's just going to be interesting to see. We might have to see how they adjust that roster this week, actually, against the BC Lions, if Sam Emelis is actually good to go and available.
Yeah, exactly. With Sam Emelis, when he comes back, I don't think he's played slot. He usually always sticks out wide, but we'll have to wait and see how they do it. But I would love to see Joe Robustelli continue to get these opportunities, especially as he was one of the few guys who felt like they were ready to play that game against Calgary, which we will get to soon.
Yeah, I'm glad. Question number two, do you still play Wordle? This is an important question.
Your favorite.
What's my streak at right now? Hold on a sec. I kind of went away from it for a while, and then I picked up my phone. It was a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, let's give Wordle another shot. I think I'm on like a 55-day streak right now.
Good on you.
There was one the other day that almost got me, and I'm like, I almost used every letter, and I'm like, what's left? And it was something random. I can't forget what it was. I can't remember what it was, but I got it on the sixth try. So Britain's given up because he has a life. So.
Every now and then I get into a little bit of a Wordle hole, but yeah, I don't play it too much. Right now, Rob Vanstone and I were doing the grids, those sports grids.
That's the Immaculate Grids. Oh, my goodness. Close practice, close practice day on Thursday. We'll be in our little media cattle pen and probably doing Immaculate Grids later today.
Absolutely. We'll move on. Question two. How come Aaron Patrick doesn't get a chance on the D-line with our pass rush looking so meh? Great question. He hasn't really went into the rotation as much as you might think, but he is out there. They really like what he does on special teams for this team.
Oh, they really like him on special teams. And for a guy who has the NFL experience that he has, I'm also surprised he hasn't found his way onto the defensive rotation, defensive line rotation, because they do like that D-line rotation. But that's where they have him right now. So I don't know if there's something in his game when it comes to containment on quarterbacks or stuff like that that he needs to work on up here, or spacing or what it is. But they do definitely like him on special teams. I'd imagine they'll work him in a little bit more as the season goes on. But that might be a good question for Corey Mace to ask him about. But we all liked him in training camp, right?
Yeah.
Like he impressed. He had some flashes there, and he's got the NFL pedigree to go behind it. So Panner 81, I can understand why you're a little bit going, what's going on there? Because he's on the roster, why not use him?
Yeah, I agree. It also is Roland Milligan Jr. banged up. Seems like he's on the injured list every week, and sometimes that's just football. He was on the injured list with the concussion. That was him going through a protocol, had to clear all those steps that first time, and now with a back injury. Pro football, these are going to happen. You're going to have these things where, especially a veteran like him, they're willing to rest him a day or two. Missed one day this week. He was back out there for day two. Nothing to worry about with him. And it just feels like, to me, just the knocks and bruises you kind of get playing pro football.
Yeah, that's pretty well what it is. I was worried that he might have got another concussion in that game. The way he kind of went down against the Calgary Stampeders. And then he was coming off the field, and I was like watching closely. But didn't look like he got put into protocol or anything like that for Roland Milligan Jr. But it is definitely one of those. He has played a lot of ball the last couple of years. Defensive player of the year last year. They need him, though. Mm-hmm. So I think there might be a few more practices that you see a non-participant on day one for Roland Milligan Jr. And then maybe ramp it up as the week goes. We see that in football a lot. When it comes to injury reports, guys sit out day one as the season rolls on. They just need a little bit more rest. So that might be something you're going to have to get used to with the Roland Milligan Jr. But he did look good in the next day after on that Wednesday practice when he was able to practice after sitting out Tuesday.
And one more for you.
It seems like the Riders' defensive strategy is to stop the run, allow yardage in the air in order to have a chance at more interceptions. Do you agree? If so, is it sustainable for winning football? If not, what would you like to see change? Oh, the Corey Mace. And it's not only the Corey Mace defense.
He picked it up from somewhere.
Richie Hall defense. This is, I'm trying to go back through the years of all these defense, probably Rich Stubler back in the day. It goes on. It's a cycle. Some defensive coordinators have this. This is something that Corey Mace has, and he's had success with it. Like, let's be honest here. He has been a guy who has won Grey Cups, multiple Grey Cups with this system. Richie Hall won multiple Grey Cups with a similar system of they hate the bend, don't break mindset or whatever it is. They'd rather not bend. This isn't like, oh, yeah, we like to bend. Like, no, they don't. But This is a strategy you see in the Canadian Football League because there's so much space to cover that zone defenses allow you to cover that space and keep some eyes on the quarterback and find the ball in the air and use your athletic ability. Man-to-man defense on a wide field, when you got mobile quarterbacks, that is a lot of time. You got to stay on man-on-man. And when man-on-man breaks down in the Canadian Football League, you see some big days by quarterbacks. Trevor Harris would eat people alive in man-on-man defenses. So you'll see a lot more zone or match coverages in the Canadian Football League. What I would like to see is just more exotic blitzes more often to throw something at there. Sometimes I think that four, even five-man rush is like, okay, can you throw a six guy in there? Like, you see other teams do it, and usually, and sometimes to success, where it's like six-man, seven-man pressure, and you're only dropping five, but they have to bring in extra people, and the quarterback has to read that real quick, where sometimes we've seen with a lack of pressure in this Riders defensive line at times, you're going to have Vernon Adams Jr. throw for 295 yards in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, a couple of those early games where they did win, there were a lot of interceptions that were dropped by this team. There were a few times where they could have had those turnovers. I remember one sticks out in my head. Marcus Sales just dropped a pick. I forget what team it was against, but that team went on and just scored that drive. They scored a touchdown on it. So, and then part of this too, mentally being in there. You have to mentally be strong in this defense because Antoine Brooks Jr., it's his first start. He bit on Vernon Adams Jr., maybe going for a run, and that left Alford wide open for the touchdown. That's why they like this veteran group, because you're often not going to see that. Of course, you did have the rookie there. Rookie mistake, they'll get better at it. And as you mentioned, this has been a defense that's been around for a long time. It's won championships. They're not going to change as much as people keep asking Corey Mace to change. I agree with you, though. Throw in an odd blitz here and there. Maybe they start to do it later in the season, but right now, they're content giving up over 400-plus yards if that means they're not giving up a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if content giving up 400 yards is...
Fair enough.
There. I think that pisses Corey Mace off quite a bit, giving up 400 yards, but... They don't ask how, they just ask how many. Now, they say, is this sustainable? As I said, it is sustainable. Corey Mace has won Grey Cups with this defense. He has, very recently, with the Toronto Argonauts beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I think, as you've seen in Corey Mace and the Toronto Argonauts back in the day and the Calgary Stampeders, I think this defense is a rope-a-dope type defense where they'll rope-a-dope you. We've seen it in games this year where it's like, okay, here we go. And then, boom, Jameer Thurman's up the middle on a quarterback sack that the other team did not see coming. So I think Corey Mace in this defense plays his spots. And as we saw in the Grey Cup, I think here at Mosaic Stadium against the Bombers a little bit, I think you saw kind of more of a shock and awe where the Bombers like, whoa, where's this coming from? That Corey Mace, he has a lot in the bag. But he's going to leave it in the bag. He's going to leave it in the bag until he really needs it, rather than throwing it out there so they can film it up all season long and play it in week four. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a good coordinator. That's how excellent coordinators work. They have a set of plays over here. We're not touching those for a while. And then as the season goes on, you start putting those formations in place to go, okay, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Even though you have another wrinkle within that formation that you're not going to show until the fourth quarter of Grey Cup and it's tied 20-20 and you need a play and you've been practicing it all year. You've been having it there, but it's like, we haven't shown anybody this yet. And we like it that way because football is a chess match and you don't want to, or a poker game or however you want to call it. You don't want to show your cards too early.
No, not at all. Great questions once again every week. Home of the fans.
Yes. At Green Zone SK is where you can find it. At Jamie and I, all this other stuff is at Britton Gray, at Jamie and I, at Green Zone SK. I saw more mentions on my Twitter. It looks like it's more about my take on Sean Lemon than it is questions for us here on the podcast. But we'll get into that later. The Riders did lose 24-10. That is a fact. They're now 4-1. I got to be honest. Britton, you got to be honest. Everybody in the CFL outside of the locker room of the Calgary Stampeders has to be honest. Who the heck saw that coming, that Calgary is going to be 4-1, beating the Bombers and the Riders on back-to-back weeks, handing both teams their first loss? Nobody on the planet outside of Dave Dickinson, Craig Dickinson, and everybody else in the Stampeders organization, I think, saw that one coming.
Yeah, no one saw it coming. You're right. Plus, it's the way they've done it. They not only beat these two teams, they dismantled them. The Riders' score was... That score flatters the Riders with how a lot of that game went, let's be honest here. And they crushed the Bombers. That's a very good Calgary team. I think what's surprising us is that defense, because we knew who they went out and signed. They brought in a ton of new guys. You expected it to take a little bit to gel, but they're one of the best units in the league right now. Or they might be. They don't give up a lot of points at all. I mean... Also happy to see a guy like Derek Moncrief, a guy who used to play here. He's really refound his game out there.
Well, yeah, that's I just wrote a piece for CFL.ca. It might be up right now on some of those off-season acquisitions around the CFL, the top 10 that I have so far this early in the CFL season. Derek Moncrief's on that list. Vernon Adams Jr., of course, is on that list for what they've been able to do with the Calgary Stampeders. And Calgary's defense, yeah, they've only allowed 18 points per game this season. Like that, they are that defensive group. Bob Slowick, a veteran guy, he's been all over the place. A lot of his career was in the National Football League, of course. Yeah, he's got that group going for the Calgary Stampeders. They got out physicaled. We know that. Against the Stamps, that's what Corey May said it. I talked to Mike Rose this week, and he says bully ball's coming back this week. Bully ball's coming back. Mm-hmm. So even the players, Britton, probably got an ego check against the Stampeders.
Yeah, to me in that game, just watching it, they got that early interception and then couldn't really move it. You get the fumble. It felt like maybe the Riders... We're like, okay, here we go. Like, Calgary had a lot to deal with. We're at home. It's going to start rolling. And then it never got rolling. You heard it on the post-game show. People were comparing what they saw to the George Reed game, right? After George Reed passed away and the effort they saw. People were not happy because of, and we'll talk about it, the smoke and the delay and the fans being there, coming back. They weren't happy with that effort. And as I mentioned, it never felt like the Riders were ever in that game. There was the one kind of play, I guess, Robustelli scores. You're like, okay, they're winning the touchdown. Next play, Vernon Adams throws an 80-yard touchdown to Alford, and it's game over. Not what you want to see, but we'll see how this team learns. I've been asking this team. I've been talking to them. I'm already like, listen, it's only one game. The past two seasons, you guys have let this snowball. How do you stop it from happening again? And it's part of it's the continuity. They hope that guys learn from last year and realize what you need to do to get out of that slump. And it's just a different group. It's a lot of the same guys, but it is a different group. Trevor Harris is healthy right now, which will help them try to get some wins. Mm-hmm. But boy, that didn't look good. But I mean, Calgary made Winnipeg not look very good as well. So maybe that's more of what Calgary's just doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give Calgary credit on what they were able to do to the Rough Riders. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind that the Stampeders are just a really good football team. And the Riders, I like the Bombers. Whoa, okay, here we go. It's a different team in Calgary. It's a whole new group there pretty well. So... That I think Winnipeg will make an adjustment this week. But it's interesting that you talk about being out physical for the Riders, and then Corey Mace throws a padded practice at them game one. You have limited padded practices in the regular season, so you have to pick your spots. Definitely a spot to pick for Corey Mace, when he didn't like the physical play. And Logan Ferlin sounds like Britton loved to put the pads on after that loss to Calgary.
Yeah, Ferlin mentioned he loves to get some of that frustration out, especially after a performance like that. And, hey, it makes watching the practice film a little bit funner when you can say, hey, look, I bowled you over, guys, or at each other a little bit, because they were going at it. I was a little surprised at the intensity between the lines with the padded practices or past practice, but I love to see it. And Corey Mace, when asked if that was a response to Calgary, he kind of went, well, maybe. Wouldn't say 100%, but like to see it. Let's see it translate and see this team get that run game going again. I was surprised at how they couldn't and then abandoned it right away. Only 6 carries by AJ Ouellette. That needs to change this week.
Yeah, especially in a game that, like, you're down by 2 touchdowns, sure, but you're not out of it. Like in the CFL, like, really? I was baffled by that. That they were just like, especially the Calgary Stampeders weren't that great against the run. Like, that's a spot on that defense that hasn't been their best. Where I'm like, don't you just keep knocking on the wall until you break it down? And that's what I think even Mike Rose probably referenced, where Bully Ball has to come back this week. And that includes, you know, what they do in the run game on the offensive side. Like, of course, Mike Rose isn't going to talk about that side, but mm-hmm. I did talk to Jamarcus Hardrick too. And he said similar things is, yeah, you get an ego check. So with the Rough Riders and the BC Lions, it's going to be interesting out of that game. But congratulations to Trevor Harris. He was the honor roll quarterback from the PFF.
Yards after beatdown. That's all that was.
Yeah, they should have. I want his grade from the first half.
Yeah.
Show me that grade. And then show me the grade in the second half, and I'll tell you if he should have had the honor roll for the top graded quarterback. Like, I imagine even Trevor Harris rolled his eyes when he saw that a little bit. Because, yes, Vernon Adams Jr. threw interceptions in that game, but who was the better quarterback?
Yeah,
it was Vernon Adams Jr., and it wasn't even close. But when you just go by passing percentage and, you know, where the ball went and who caught the ball and not all the other dynamics going on. Okay, congratulations to Trevor Harris on his PFF honor roll. But maybe they should take it if you lose the game. Should that be like a dash 20 on your grade? Maybe.
Should be.
For a quarterback.
We give them a lot of credit when they get the wins, even though sometimes it's not their, they're not the main reason.
Yeah, give them a plus 20 too if they win. Sure, maybe that would have helped Vernon Adams Jr. win that one. Before we get to what's coming up for the Riders, because we have to address the BC Lions, of course, and it's been an interesting week of practice. I can't wait for the depth chart to come out. This will be tomorrow. We're recording on a Thursday. I've said to a few people, you know, the GIF at the guy at the blackboard and all the numbers and like algorithms and algebra and calculus.
Math.
That's me looking at this Rider depth chart trying to figure this out, because it's good things, but we'll get to it in a moment. There's good news. That's why. Not the usual bad news is like who they're going to put on this week. This is, man, they have a lot of guys they can put on the roster. How do they make it work? But we need to address the smoke delay. You survived the smoke delay of 2025 for the Riders. And we all know what happened. The wind stopped. The smoke didn't move. So the Environment Canada meteorologists and the meteorologists they have in-house for the Riders in the CFL got it wrong, that the system that went through Moose Jaw that dropped the air quality to a reasonable level to play was making its way to Regina, which it was, and then the wind stopped. And you sat there for far too long until you got an answer. This is mm-hmm. the one thing I couldn't believe, that it was like, what, 9:30-ish, maybe 9:45-ish, when they finally said our cutoff time is this.
Yeah.
We're doing 10:45 with an 11:15 kickoff. We're going to go another hour. Like, really? It took you 3 hours? 3 hours to come up with a drop dead time to go, okay, we're not going. I don't think that's not respectful to the fans. It really isn't. I don't think so anyway. I think they don't have a protocol. This was the big thing too. Even the players in the locker room were looking at their phones going, well, here's the protocol. We have 3 hours, but why are we going past 10? I thought it was 3 hours. That's for a delay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's that policy. That's in game delays. There is no policy for if the ball never kicks off at the start of a game. There is zero policy in the Canadian Football League for what played out where, oh, we have to delay kickoff. How long can we delay kickoff? How late until the night can we go? They're going to be deciding that. I know there's meetings this week. Stuart Johnson was on the Green Zone and talked to us, the commissioner, about that. But that was terribly communicated. And the commissioner owned it on the Green Zone this week.
Well, even us in the media booth, we weren't really sure what was going on because we were reading it. And as you and Belton and Daryl did your big show, your big pregame show where you're on air for so long, Daryl even, he interpreted it how we had interpreted it, was that 3 hours also includes the opening kickoff. Turns out it doesn't. And there was no clarification of that in the protocol. They need to get it fixed. They also, for the Riders, need to improve the communication with the fans. Fans went far too long without an update. Even just, we're continuing to monitor the situation. We'll come back with an update in another 30 minutes or whatever it is. Because for 2 hours, fans were sitting there. I mean, they were drinking beer, a lot of them. They were able to do that.
Well, the Riders made probably the most money off a game day concession in years, maybe Labor Day, probably they with a sold out place, but in fairness, they are giving it back in a way. Mm-hmm. Like free ticket. If you had a ticket, you're getting a voucher for a new ticket, and if you have season tickets, you're getting $50 a ticket for the Rider store. So for my family, that's $150 at the Rider store we can go spend.
What I took issue with was they only extended the $5 beer countdown once. Should have been $5 beers the entire time they made the fans wait.
Throw that in the protocol. I think that's a good idea. Throw that in the protocol. The $5 beers will continue until a half an hour or an hour before kickoff.
No matter what.
When the players come out for warm-ups, that's when we'll cut off the $5 beer. Here's the big question, though. Like, we can, you know, moan and complain about it all we want about bad communication. And as I said, the commissioner owned it. I think Craig Reynolds owned it too. Got to work on our communication. Maybe not have Sabine and Mark out there getting booed. Mm-hmm. Didn't know if they deserved that.
Didn't like that. Seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, like, now a lot of people are saying Craig Reynolds should have made that announcement. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that would have gone any better for anybody. But you have a PA announcer. They say his name once at the start of the game. Maybe they don't even say that, actually. But just have him do it. Go on the mic, put it on the board. This is what we're doing. But yeah. Either way, what should the protocol be? Daryl and I have been debating this all week on what the protocol should be. He thinks it should just be 3 hours. And I'm like, what if the game was supposed to kick off at 1 in the afternoon? You're going to have and it clears up at 5. That's more than enough mm-hmm. time to get a game in. But he says it's just easy. Just 3 hours. It's a 3 hour delay. You have to play. But so you can debate that.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a rule. There has to be a protocol. We will not start a game past a certain point in the night. Like, starting a game at 11:15, that game would have ended at 2 a.m. 2 a.m. And I would have still had to do a post-game show. Contractually obligated.
Yeah. It's interesting, because as you mentioned, I like the 3 hours, but if it's at 1, can you not just do it? I think that the teams have to... they have to be aware of the situation. If the smoke is there and at like noon for a 1 o'clock kickoff, just delay it at that point. Delay it till 2 or 3 already and then work from there. And don't have a bunch of fans coming down. and having to just wait there. They need a drop. They need a time, or just they're not kicking off. Absolutely, 10 o'clock local time should be the absolute latest any football game should be going on. And yeah, it'll be interesting because what do you do, right? Because we know weather changes on a dime. It did for the Riders. That's why this happened. But you have to be looking more ahead and saying, also, if it's been 2 hours and there's been no improvement, let's maybe think about calling it, because they continued to push that and their quality was getting worse as the night went on. So also take
like
a look
at
up
to like, it got up to like a 9.
Yeah.
And maybe just a dip below getting, I don't think it ever got close to 8, but I was watching it. And then at about 8:30, it went back worse. And I'm like, we're done. Like, what are we doing here? Like, if I can see it, this noob can see it on a website, what are we doing? I was like, what are we doing? What advice are they getting here? The winds have died. There's no wind. The flags aren't moving. The smoke quality is getting, and you're going to wait an hour? I left. You know, right when they were like, oh, okay, we're going to wait an hour. I'm like, bye. There's no way this game's, I'm going to go back to the station and do breaking news. And then go home. Like, seriously. That was ridiculous.
I couldn't believe they made it the fans wait until 10:45. The TSN guys had gone. They had cleared the benches already off everything.
They weren't gone. They weren't gone. They were still in the building, but they were packing up.
They were packing up. Okay, well, they received word earlier than us to start packing up because the benches were cleared off. You could tell this wasn't happening, and for 10 minutes, Mark and Sabine were just out there on the field waiting to make the announcement. I'm sitting up there.
That was disrespectful. That was disrespectful. Yeah. The fans sitting there watching people out there on the field cleaning stuff up. Like, you're sitting in your seat going, wait, they're cleaning stuff. Are they not playing? I guess they're not playing. I don't know. Like, that's... Again, that's disrespectful.
Communication. That's the biggest thing to take away from this. Smoke is going to happen. It is what it is. You need to communicate with the fans more because a lot of people were left in the dark for a lot of that.
Alrighty, so don't know how much we solved, if anything, other than I feel better after those rants. As we get to the Riders and the BC Lions, as I mentioned, there's good news. Sam Amelis ramping up to play. Will he? Won't he? We'll find out when the depth chart comes out. Well, I guess we'll find out later on Thursday when they release the injury report if he's available or out or what he is. But, you know, Tommy Neild, another Canadian receiver, he's been practicing this week. His ankle is better. You have other guys who are looking like Tavon Campbell. He didn't play last week. He's getting back onto the roster. Okay, what do you do there? So you have three Canadians. I'm going, which three Canadians come off? Daniel Johnson, ? The offensive lineman. And then I'm like, okay, I guess you take off Deshaun Mims. And do you take off? I looked at it. It's on my desk, Britton. I crossed off Mitch Pickton. Or Benoit Marion. I don't know which one they're going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're also trying to work Caleb Sanders back in, but he's American. So where does that on the deal, where does that all shuffle up? Like,
yeah.
I'm very confused.
The injuries, they make things difficult sometimes, but hey, that's why Corey Mace, Jeremy O'Day get paid the big bucks to figure these questions out, and we just look at the paper when it comes out and say, oh, that's how they did it.
So you might see a Darian Washington, an offensive lineman. Not sure. I think Corey kind of said they were hoping DJ played. Daniel Johnson plays. He did practice on Tuesday. He did not practice on Wednesday, so that's another guy we're watching is on the along the offensive line for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But we will see. We know this. Dre McCrae will make his CFL regular season debut Many people thought Trey McRae should have kept taken Mario Alford's job. They didn't make that decision. Mario Alford has played very well this season. Unfortunately, he got injured in that Stampeder game. But I'm excited to see him, right? I hate injuries, but that's the reality of football. Mm-hmm. They are going to happen. And injuries do give a guy like Joe Robustelli and now Trey McRae a chance.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him as well. As you mentioned, he looked really good in preseason. He showed some explosiveness. Now, they made the right decision going with Mario Alford. No one's going to deny that now with how good he's been. But it's that excitement around a new player. Okay, we've kind of seen flashes. What does he do in a regular season game? And he looks like he could be a dynamic returner. And he's mentioned he's had a chance. Well, he's been waiting to learn from Mario Alford. Alford's been a very good teammate to him, according to what McRae's told us. He's telling him everything, mm-hmm. giving him advice on where to go, what to look for. He is really helping groom possibly the next Saskatchewan Roughriders kick returner. And there's not many better people to learn from than Mario Alford. He's up there in terms of all-time CFL kick returns.
Yeah, exactly. We remembered 2 years ago when he had two punt returns for a touchdown for the Rough Riders against the Calgary Stampeders in a game. What's with the ride? They ride can't beat the Stampeders on Mosaic Stadium. It's the most random thing ever.
It's pretty wild.
You go back, like, look over the years. It's stupid. It's dumb. The things that have happened from it started with Vet Day. Started with Vet Day with Cody Fajardo. The next year, Trevor Harris breaks his leg. The next year, the windstorm in Montreal has the Winnipeg Blue Bombers clinch, and they bench all the starters. And then you got smoke game. That's the last four times the Stampeders have come to Mosaic Stadium. They're banned. We're never having them back. I'm calling the league. Take the Stampeders off the home schedule for the referee. We'll do touchdown Atlantic.
Yeah, I was going to say, have this be the touchdown Atlantic game. A couple of Western teams going at it. Get him out of here.
Yeah, enough already. So against the BC Lions, though, the biggest change for this game after the big win the Riders had against the Lions a few weeks ago is they don't play Jeremiah Masoli this week. It is very much Nathan Rourke, who was coming off a huge game against the Edmonton Elks.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan Rourke, he looked very good again. Very good for that entire game, not just the second half. That first half, I think he only threw one or two incompletions. He was locked in. And that team is better with Nathan Rourke. Absolutely is. I'm very interested to see if Rourke can put it together back-to-back-to-back games here, if he really has that consistency back. And this is going to be tough for the Riders. Heading out to BC Place, you're coming off a loss. James Butler right now is running like the best running back in the league. He very well might be. Excited for this game, but we'll have to wait and see if that BC team we saw against Edmonton was once again, is that the Lions or was that more of what the Elks are right now?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because that was a dominant effort. If you're a bad football team and take on a bad football team, you don't beat a team like that. Like, that was a good football team beating a very bad football team.
Yeah.
With the BC Lions. So that's what I think the Riders are. That James Butler is now leading the league in rushing, but they haven't had a bye week. Yards per game, he's actually tied with Dedrick Mills now, as it used to be AJ Ouellette, but, you know, give him the ball six times, he's not going to have that title for very long. And you know, Nathan Rourke's in there. They have a good receiving core. I think they have five receivers over 200 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Right now, from, you know, Javon Katoy and Barry Hill. Looks like a pretty darn good receiver there. I'm just going through it. Keon Hatcher, of course, Javon Katoy, Stanley Berryhill, Justin McInnes, and Eberhardt is over 200 yards receiving. The Riders have three, Joe Robustelli, Keyshawn Johnson, and Dante Myers. So Nathan Rourke has guys to throw the ball to, and he's got a great running back out of the backfield. But after the Riders give up that many yards passing and that many yards rushing, you go, whew, this is quite the matchup this week. Mm-hmm. We'll get to our prediction in just a second. We do want to go around the CFL. First off, we want to welcome back Milt Stegall to the Canadian Football League and mm-hmm. the CFL on TSN. He announced he is returning after the devastating loss of his son Chase a few months ago, and Milt Stegall says it's time to heal with the people he finds so dear, which is, he's got a family at TSN, right? Like he's been around there and they've been around each other for so long. And it just so happens that this week the panel will be in Winnipeg but the CFL and TSN is better with Milt Stegall on it. If he stopped entirely and retired, I would have completely understood. If he took the whole year off, everybody would have given him that grace. But we're very happy to have you back, Milt.
Yeah, excited to see him back. He brings a lot of energy to that panel. He's a very good personality, obviously. Taking all the time he needs, but excited to have him back on TV again because Milt provides so much for this league.
Oh, he's great. And by the way, check out the Paper Plates show with he and Davis Sanchez this week. They had Luke Wilson on. We had Luke Wilson on the Green Zone too this week, but you get 10 minutes in a talk radio format to talk to Luke Wilson. It was an hour and 20. Milt, Davis, and Luke Wilson talking the CFL, the present, the past, the future of where this league and some ideas. It was riveting. I was engaged for the whole time, just eating it, because you got to see Luke Wilson less on the 240 characters on Twitter in a longer form, explaining his ideas and his reasoning and the people he talks to in the league. And I think for those who are hating on Luke Wilson, we'll learn a lot more about where he's going on this. Because he's talking to players, right? He knows guys in this league. So I know he's just an NFL guy, but he's from Ontario. He knows these guys. He's gone to school with guys. He's played against these guys. So from what he's hearing, there's some frustration, which where the CFL is. But they cut it up really well. Sanchez, Stegall, and Wilson on that. Of course, it's Sanchez and Stegall's show. Wilson was the guest this week, but it was a good podcast nonetheless. Okay. Sean Lemon. my rant caught the attention of people in Sean Lemon's camp. I will tell you that. It's been an interesting 24 hours for me, but I will not change my opinion. The CFL reinstating Sean Lemon, who bet on a game in which he was participating in, was a mistake. It is a mistake to go down this road. And I've had so many debates with people. Well, he bet on himself to win. So I said, so the league should allow every player in the league to be able to bet as long as it is on their own team. Yeah, what's wrong with that? So you want 1,000 guys to be bet now, open the Pandora's box. Yeah, guys, go nuts. Now you can open your apps and you can bet, but please, 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 only bet on your team to win. You know where that's going. That's going straight down the toilet, because people and gamblers cannot help themselves. When they think they can win money, they will win money. If they quarterback gets in a car accident on the way to the game, they're going to go on their apps and they're going to bet money that their team's going to lose. Like, seriously, not all of them. I'm not saying they're all going to do it, but you're telling me there's not going to be one guy or tells his brother, hey, my quarterback's hurt, nobody knows, you should place $1,000 bet? Like, people probably go, well, it's happening anyways. And maybe it is, but that should not be a rule that allows players to bet on their own team only if they win. I don't believe that. I think that is an ethical line you cannot cross. And sorry that it's Sean Lemon. This isn't about me against Sean Lemon. If it was Trevor Harris, Darian Durant, Weston Dressler, I'd have the same opinion. This isn't a Sean Lemon issue. This is a gambling and sports issue that I will take to my grave, that this is a line no league should even tippy-toe to, that allows players to bet.
Yeah, I do agree with that. The integrity, you mentioned a lot of things. I was surprised they reinstated him. A little shocked, especially with gambling, but we'll have to wait and see what the ripple effects are. You know, every decision, there's ripple effects, and we'll have to wait and see how things get affected here in terms of players and gambling in the CFL going forward.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in it. I thought that was when they suspended him indefinitely, but the commissioner has now changed. It's gone from Randy Ambrosi to Stuart Johnston. And I'll tell you what, I've liked a lot of what Stuart has said about growing the game and growing the sport and grassroots and all that stuff. He gets an A grade. He came on the Green Zone, talked about communication stuff that we failed, A grade, all those things. I gave him a big F on putting Sean Lemon back on the field. I know he's sorry. I know he is. I know he is. I know Sean Lemon's sorry. I know he's gone through the counseling. I know all that. But playing in professional sports is a privilege, and you should have that privilege taken away if you start betting on games in which you're participating. And I don't give a flying you know what if you're only betting on guys to you're betting on your team to win. Can't be allowed ever. Because mm-hmm. once guys start cheating that rule, your league is screwed. It will be screwed. If you have four, like, look in the National Football League. You have these guys getting suspended. You have all this? Come on. Sorry, this is a long podcast all of a sudden. I apologize. Let's get to our picks real quick so Britain can go. Toronto at Montreal. Davis Sanchez can tie Danny McManus's record for an 8-0 start as a starting quarterback in the
Davis
Canadian
Alexander
Football
can. You said Davis Sanchez.
Oh, sorry.
Davis Alexander can tie a record.
Davis Sanchez isn't that good of a quarterback. That's why he plays defensive back. Davis Alexander. Yes, I mentioned Sanchez earlier. Can tie Danny McManus's record for an 8-0 start. I think he does it. I think he ties Danny McManus's 8-0 record to begin a career, because Toronto doesn't have Chad Kelly and doesn't have their best offensive lineman. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hunter got hit by a car on a scooter this week and is out for 2 months. Yikes. That's scary, because that could have been a lot worse. But yeah. I'm taking the Owls.
Yeah, same thing. I'm taking the Owls. What is going on with Chad Kelly? He was supposed to be back this week, I believe. Still not. Wait and see on that. It was a serious injury he suffered, but wait and see. But until then, the Alouettes defense, Davis Alexander just doesn't lose football games. So Montreal, I think, wins it.
I want to give him an 8-0 start already, because that game against Saskatchewan last year didn't count because he didn't start. He came in the second half and won that game. Mm-hmm. I think that should count as an 8-0 record. But anyways. Calgary at Winnipeg. I think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers hand it right back to the Stampeders. The Bombers are coming off a bye week this time, as I mentioned on the show, since Zach Collaros is the starting quarterback of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers after a bye week. 17-0. They've never lost after a bye week. That's insane. So I think Mike O'Shea will have something planned for the Calgary Stampeders this week.
Records are made to be broken, and I think the Stamps keep on rolling. I've made my concerns about Winnipeg known. I think Calgary finds a way to win this one as well.
It's in Winnipeg, sold out crowd. It'll be noisy. Winnipeg's all messed up on me this week, I'll be honest. I'll tell you why in a sec. Hamilton at Ottawa. It was a close game. Ottawa almost won it, but I watched that game like, man, there's some drop balls by the Tiger Cats, And I'm like, I got the Tabbies. I'm going Tiger Cats to win again. And I believe it's a fourth straight win it would be for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
It would be. Hamilton is rolling right now. Yeah, I think they will. I picked Ottawa in my Grey Cup pick, but they are holding themselves back, it feels like, for a lot of these games. And the veteran, Bo Levi Mitchell and Scott Milanovic, appear to have worked out whatever issues they may have had. They are rolling right now on offense. I think they continue.
And Kenny Lawler is scary.
Yes. Kenny Lawler could be having a record-breaking season with the way they keep feeding him the ball and the way he keeps coming down with it.
I mentioned Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans are so confused about me this week because I picked the Bombers to win and I'm picking the Riders to lose. to the BC Lions, as I like the run game of the Lions. Nathan Rourke's not going to throw three picks like Jeremiah Masoli did. I got the Lions over the Riders. I'm going to say like a 28-20 football game.
I had the Riders in the Grey Cup. These are games you have to win if you are that team. I still think they are, despite the one hiccup here. I think they find a way to beat the Lions. Might be a Brett Lawther walk-off, because he needs one of those in the worst way with how the kicking game has gone this season. But I have it 23-22 for the Riders.
There you have it. We've disagreed a little bit more than usual this week on our picks in the Canadian Football League for Week 7. Of course, it's a 5 o'clock kickoff on the Green Zone on Saturday, and it's in the Dome, so it'll be a 5 o'clock kickoff. Hopefully there's no power outage.
Yeah.
but the Green Zone pregame show at 3. Britt and Gray will have All or Nothing, player profile, all that good stuff as usual. Thanks for hanging in on the Blitz podcast. Of course, you can check out the Green Zone at 2-6 every weekday on CJME and CKOM. And as always, like, subscribe, tell a friend, share the Blitz podcast. And we'll be back for Week 8 when the Edmonton Elks visit the Saskatchewan Rough. Now, there's a guaranteed win night. Anyways, Britton, take care, bud.